If we have to give these bastards our lives, we give them hell before we do!
The tragedy of our day is the climate of fear in which we live.
Talking about the Salomon Brothers building collapsing.
Big club, and you ain't in it.
Yeah. Welcome back to the least comfortable show on the web. It's The System Is Down, the place where you get all the conspiracies. I forgot the thing. I'm buttoning up my cap shirt as I'm saying it. Conspiracies, politics, religion, a bunch of libertarian drama, you know, whatever's going on in the world. First and foremost, I think it's noteworthy that we all survived the apocalypse. So give it up for yourselves. We made it through. Now, the question is, did the rapture not happen, or did Jesus come back and we're all just pieces of shit? And he is just like, nah, none of you. Like, I gave you very simple instructions and not one of you got it. I don't know. Maybe that's possible. But either way, let's enjoy whatever time we have left here in this miserable hellscape that we call life. I'm joined, of course, always by the late, great Dave Casey. Dave, how are you doing?
What's up?
I'm doing good, man. He did.
I was not selected, but let's go with what you said. Nobody was. A bunch of half-baked souls. Not ready yet.
Yep.
Came, checked it out, said no thanks.
Maybe another time, perhaps. Try again in another 6,000 years. But for now, we will do what we can with what we have. Now, Dave, there's been a lot of things going on in the world, a lot of things going on in the news, a lot of stuff going on in libertarianism. Is there anything going on in your neck of the woods before we jump into this?
If you want to talk LP stuff, we just had our convention, Action Packed. We had a state chair.
Action packed? Was it actually action packed, or is that sarcastic because it's a libertarian convention?
No, it was. If you want to talk more about it, we could. I think maybe I don't know how to play these things. I won't be a delegate this year. I did get to be an alternate. I tried to be, but when asked if I would vote for Chase Oliver in the event that he was the nominee, I said no. I think that probably maybe turned off a couple people in the room. I stand by my statement, but I'm going to be an alternate. So if any other states out there are looking for a floater and you want to hang out with me.
Whoop, hold on. Maximum reverb, according to some. I turned on the echo cancellation, and now it has gone away. Keep talking.
I can hear you again. Yeah. Check. One, two, three. Check.
Dave is always echoing. Echo. Got it, y'all. Bad echo. Echoing. Dave, you're just going to have to sit silently for this one, I suppose. Let me see. Don't know why that would be. Dave, why don't you hop out and hop back in? See if that fixes
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Cool.
BRB.
All right. While Dave is gone, I need to remind you guys, you fine folks in the chats, about something very important. Yourselves. People in the Downers Club. People like Trash Man, Abrogate Authoritarians, Michael, Mark, Scott, Kimberly, Brian, JC, Justin, Joey, Bonnie, Perry, Adam, Andrew, Donald, Matthew, Leah, Danielle, Zareth Anarchy, Heffalumps, Level Zero, Vanzai Media, Jack, Javari, Craig, Ryan, Anthony, John, Tim, Howie, Brian, Trenton, Justin, William, all of you lovely people. Thank you. Thank you for supporting the show and keeping my family fed. If you want to get your name on that list and possibly have it read incorrectly someday, go on over to patreon.com/thesystemisdown, where you'll not only feed my children, but you'll get more weird, more raw, more offensive, more content whenever we feel like it. Summer's busy, y'all. Just hang in there. There's gonna be plenty of content coming up because Dave and I are going to Maryland. But we'll get to more of that later. Patreon.com/thesystemisdown. Go support, go subscribe, go do all that fun stuff. And we are joined again by Dave Casey. People in the chats, let us know if Dave is still a miserable, sad bastard in his echo chamber.
Sibilance. Check it. One, two.
Am I echoing yourself? You're really going to throw him off the scent.
Well, I'm back. I hope it works. And if not, I'm just here happy to listen along. Type some mean stuff to the people in the chats. Like Hector.
Reason, it looks like you're coming through my mic channel as well. So I think that's what's causing it, but I don't know why that would be. Now, it's possible that I could restart my little mixer thing here, and then it's possible that that could fuck up the entire stream. Mm-hmm. They're saying still echoing. So we're going to give it a shot. Things are going to be weird for a second. We're going to get through this, but let me just roll a little clip to entertain you while I fuck up the audio worse. Let's see here. Watch. Where the fuck is it? Watch. Here you go.
There's no wrong way. There's no wrong way to eat a Reese's. There's no wrong way to eat a Reese's. There's no wrong way to eat a Reese's.
What's your name, Private?
Bro, sup?
Bro? Private bro? Seriously?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm definitely not calling you Private Bro. What's your first name, maggot?
Cheesy Wig, sir.
Come again?
Cheesy Wig, sir.
Cheesy Wig? Yes. Cheesy Wig Bro is your name.
Yes.
I'm definitely not calling you Private Cheesy Wig. Are you kidding me? Doesn't matter what your name is. While you're here, you are a maggot. Do you understand me? You are mine. You are my private. You are my private bro. No, wait. Never mind. Shut up. Let's go. So, tell me about yourself, bro.
Well, back in the third grade, what's this? Oh no!
What?
A quicksand pit! No!
What? No!
I'm dying!
No, bro! No!
I always knew
not
this
quicksand.
Day would come!
No, bro! No! No! Why? Why? Why quicksand? Why did it have to be quicksand? No! Bro! Bro! No, bro! No! No! Why? Bro! No!
I'm so glad you could make it in to see me today. It's been a while.
Yeah.
So what brings you in? How have you been feeling, Joanna?
It's Joe. Joe!
Right, sorry. Jeez. How have you been feeling? Joe.
Depressed. Scared. Alone, I guess.
Okay. Tell me more about that.
Well, I think it all goes back to my childhood.
Interesting. I wonder, could it have something to do with your childhood? Tell me more about your childhood.
Okay. I always saw it in the movies, in the TV shows. You just never think it could happen to you, you know? The big screen, it's scary and all, but it's really something else when you see it up close. Like, The Dukes of Hazzard, Batman, even I Love Lucy, $6 Million Man, Tarzan, Fantasy Island, Gilligan's Island, The Fall Guy, The Bionic Woman, One Life to Live, Incredible Hulk, even The Princess Bride. The freaking Princess Bride. I saw it. I believed it. I knew it was real, but I still didn't think that it was real.
Yeah. What?
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 I saw it. I saw it. I believed it. But I did not think it was real.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Didn't think what was real.
Quicksand.
And we're back. Hopefully things are working and that wasn't just a 4-minute waste of time. Let us know.
Check. One, two.
Actually, let's mute you down here, Dave. Try talking now. Well, but that, okay, that doesn't work either. Crap.
Oh man, you going solo today?
Always something. It's always something. I am not going solo today. I'm going to figure this out. If it takes 25 more waste of time videos, I'm going to figure this out.
What else you got?
Let's do this. Let's go ahead and jump over to a topic. We can let's just play a little bit of the things to come. Some David Hogg and Spike Cohen and their debate. While I work on this audio, I apologize for the inconvenience of my unprofessionalism. Hang in there, and we'll tell you all why David Hogg murdered Spike Cohen very soon, but here's some of that.
Each of our debaters. David, would you like to start?
Sure. I don't know if I even need 3 minutes to talk. I think most of you know where I stand on this. I would like to address one thing in general, though, which is that my view of addressing gun violence is not solely about addressing how somebody gets a gun. That is part of it, but it's only that. It is only part of it. I believe that we also need to address why somebody feels the need to kill somebody else, which I think most of us in this room actually agree on, including those who took the poll. Part of why I say that is because, I'll acknowledge that no law is perfect by any means, but there still is the need to have them in a society with order. And that applies to guns as well. You know, no right is unlimited. There's a reason why you can't scream fire in a crowded theater in the first place. But that also means that we have to address, as I said, why somebody picks up a gun. In my case in Parkland, that looks like addressing the fact that the shooter at my high school had repeatedly, he was a 19-year-old, that had repeatedly, I'm just checking the time, that had repeatedly threatened to shoot up my high school. He was reported to local law enforcement, he was reported to the FBI, and had the police called on him over a dozen times before the shooting. Despite all of that, he was still able to legally obtain an AR-15. And as a result, he shot 34 of my classmates and killed 17 of my classmates and teachers. And personally, you know, I've grown up around guns my entire life. My dad was an FBI agent. My first time shooting guns was when I was in fourth grade. This may be news to some of you, but I was even in the shooting club at my college.
We knew that his dad was.
I understand the power behind these weapons, but I also understand that there's responsibility that comes with that in the first place. And I don't see that why there is any need why somebody who repeatedly threatens to shoot up a high school should be able to legally continue to own or even have an AR-15 in the first place. I don't believe that's an affront to anybody's civil liberties. I believe it's actually protection of all of ours to our right, you know, to things like domestic tranquility, as are also talked about. And I think there's just a lot of nuance that has to be had in this conversation. I don't want this to be a screaming match between Spike and I know that he doesn't want that either. As you know, as entertaining as that might be for the 12 watch parties that you've set up, apparently. I really think that this is supposed to be a conversation. That's what I want to focus on. You know, I respect Spike as a person, even if I have disagreements with him. And I think the only way that we're going to make progress on this issue is addressing, you know, the parts where we don't agree, which we hear all the time, and it's very entertaining. But the thing that I'm most interested in is making progress here, and figuring out what we can agree on so that we can move forward as a country, make ourselves safer, and actually do whatever we can in the interim period while we continue having these debates to focus on what we can agree on to make progress. Not because it benefits one party or the other or anything like that, but because it benefits the future of this country and ensuring that nothing like Parkland ever happens again. That's why I'm here today. It's not to get in a screaming match. It's not to spew a bunch of talking points or anything like that. I didn't even bring a piece of paper with me because I wanted to have a conversation.
I couldn't even be bothered to bring a piece of paper to this debate. Dave, talk. Let's see if we've got this fixed now.
Checkity check.
Let us know. Chats. Let us know. Is it working? Are we good?
Please, God.
They said that apparently David Hogg was echoing too. So if David Hogg stopped echoing, we should be good. We should be good. But we shall see. Dave, you got any thoughts on David Hogg's opening statements there and his lack of preparedness in bringing a slice of paper to this debate? Just cut one
you
off
didn't
and
even
bring it.
A slice of piece of paper with it. Yeah, I hope this is coming through. By the way, everybody, thank you for...
They're saying beautiful, fixed, so I think we're good. Yep.
Cool. I love how this kid is setting himself up to be just like the kind of cool, breezy, like, you know, just a couple infringements, no big deal kind of guy. I'm just like, look, I didn't even come here to debate. I just want to have a conversation. I'm a cool guy. Spike is a cool guy.
David Hogg's known for being super chill and very respectful young lad.
Right. So bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Exactly. All right. That's actually not what we're opening with. I don't remember what we are now because it's been a cluster. But, here we go. So opening with some other much more recent news than last night. That debate happened last night, and that's the old news now because today's news that broke was all over Twitter. O.J. Simpson dead at 76 after cancer battle. Now, I mean, Dave, you're a bit, let's say, wiser than I am.
I knew that you were going to be like, yo, what was that like, Dave?
What was it like? What was it like, Dave?
No, dude, I honestly remember where I was when that shit popped off. We were down the beach. A buddy's mom brought his kid and he could take two friends. We went down the beach. We were playing Virtual Fighter in the arcade all summer. So, was that 93 or 94? I think 94.
I don't know. But that was I was like six.
I was 12 or so ish. So, yeah. But that was a really big deal. I remember that being it felt like, I think it took maybe 2 or 3 years for that to like go from beginning, you know, like chasing him in the Bronco to like the completion of the trial. Right. And it felt like it was all consuming and it felt like way longer than 3 years at the time. Again, you know, I'm like 12 years old, so that's a really long time for a little kid. But that was a big, big deal, man. And yeah. I remember, I don't know. It's interesting when he got off because like most people, I think at the time, again, I was a kid, but I'm pretty sure most people at the time who were happy that he was acquitted and people that were pissed were acquitted, both thought that he was guilty of murder.
Yeah.
So like that's interesting. You know?
Yeah. So I, as a conspiracy minded individual, do you like, is there anything more to this than the official narrative here that like, was he guilty or what, where do you land?
At least he knows what happens. Like there might've been somebody else, maybe that he might have been, I heard like his son might have like,
yeah, I've heard
involved.
Covering for his son type thing. But
but looks like he's definitely, I don't know, man. I don't think so. I think that he came in there and like, he has a history of violence and there was blood all over the place and he ran from the cops and I don't know. But good on Johnny Cochran for figuring out how to, you know, work that system and
Do you think Johnny Cochran is defending him at Heaven's Gates right now?
right.
The glove didn't fit, God, I'm telling you. I swear.
Right. Wow, I can't believe it. That's forever. That was like 30 years ago. Holy shit. Yeah.
I don't got a lot to say on it. Like, am I supposed to be sad? Am I supposed to be happy? I don't really know how to feel.
No, I wasn't even, when it happened, I was like, oh, the football player, right? Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. So, but I know, you know, he was a Naked Gun. He was a comedic genius, as Toad would say. And yeah, he was pretty funny in that. But yeah, this guy was like doing commercials, you know, like he was the kind of whatever, like a huge celebrity. Yeah. So that was
to Bob do John. Some murder like that. Yeah. Bob John in the chat says, I think the government secretly executed OJ. I should remind you guys, if you would like us to read your chats, sometimes I will if one pops up that I want to read. But if you want us to read it specifically, put in all caps fake super chat so that we see it. And then I will, you know, try and get to them. You cannot give us super chats because YouTube hates you and hates me and hates all of us. But you can fake super chat and we'll try and read your thoughts as we do. Dave.
Dude.
What were we talking about? Like, my brain is completely scrambled from the beginning of this episode so far. So, OJ. OJ is what we're talking about. You weren't the sports nerd that was a big fan of OJ?
No. And if I was, that would have been like, you know, I think he was like 80s.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe like late 70s, 80s. I don't know.
So you'd have been like in your 20s?
But, yeah, so I was past my prime at that time. Yeah. No, man, I was just, you know, a kid. I remember, but that was like the beginning of like, bro, that might have been the beginning of reality TV.
Yeah.
Like the very beginning, because like Court TV popped off, like they got super rich at that time. They were like, we can just like hook up a camera in here, you know, like a live stream all the time before the live stream all the time thing, you know, just like, and it costs nothing to produce. So like this is, I think that might have given birth to that kind of like parasitic, just
all TMZ we needed was a football player, comedian, actor to kill his ex-wife sooner, and we would have had live TV live TV much sooner,
right?
I've got a couple things I'm having a hard time segueing here into because it's just entertainment news, and I just thought it was interesting and wanted to get your thoughts on some stuff, Dave. Matrix fan, you are, yes, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Just the first one or the second two? How about the fourth?
I thought we talked about the fourth one. Maybe we didn't. The fourth one was not good.
Correct.
And I feel like they shouldn't have done that. And
it was Mark a cash grab to keep the IP alive.
Oh my God. The original trilogy, I would say, like I fall in, if you guys haven't seen it, Mark Passio does this cool presentation. It's not like great quality or anything, but it's on YouTube, a couple hours long, cool listen. And he just goes like, it's like a deep, deep dive into all the characters, all the plots, like where they parallel and, you know, history, culture, all the stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd recommend that. But he says in that like everybody likes the first one. Everybody loves the first one. Feels great. Everybody can relate to like that, the hero's journey, the, you know, there's a definitive beginning, middle and end of that.
Right.
And everybody loves it. And you accept the program, so to speak. The second one is a little harder. So they're basically, I forget how he put it, but like they're asking the questions in the first one, like what is the Matrix?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one is, I think, how do you get out of the Matrix, and then how do you destroy the Matrix? Like that's kind of the questions. And the further you go down, most people like the first one best, then the second, then the third. And he would say that it's because those lessons are like harder to learn. So people like reject, you know, like as you go down.
Yeah.
Now it could also be that they're just not as.
I think it's that they're just not as good. Chris O in the chat says the original Matrix is a sci-fi classic and the only one that matters. So, Dave, you didn't like the fourth one, and I did not either. I saw what they were doing, and I think that it doesn't matter. We're not going to rehash all that, but there were some things done well, most things done stupidly, but it was clearly just something to keep the IP alive. Now we've got a new Matrix movie, but it's coming from the director of Cabin in the Woods. So I heard there was a fifth Matrix movie, and I was like, fuck no. And then I heard that it's by, I don't remember his name, but the dude from Cabin in the Woods, who's done a lot of great stuff and a lot of weird stuff, very unique, original stuff. And I'm like, You know, if they're taking the Wachowski sisters off of this and willing to just let somebody else play with it, I'm kind of okay with it. Like, I would be happier with that than another of Matrix 4, where they clearly didn't have any reason to be making a Matrix movie. What do you think, Dave? Or should they just leave it alone?
Well, that would be my number one choice. But since you already kicked off another, like, you know, decade of shitty Matrix movies, it's like, okay, I guess, yeah, since the last... Was it both sisters in the last one or just one?
Just one, I think.
Okay, yeah. Then, I mean, she shit the bed on that, so you should definitely try something else.
Yep. I don't know. I mean, I'll watch it. I don't really care that much, because, like, the fourth one broke the fourth wall so much that it's like, it's hard to even take it seriously at this point. But if you're going to do it, do something with it. Like, you've already fucked it up bad enough that, you know, you can play around with it a bit. But if you've got an idea, go for it.
I hate this of the destroying. I know I'm dating myself again, but they just put out another Ghostbusters movie, like with the Ghostbusters in it, like the original guys, like,
sure.
Like, they're trying so hard to, like, launch a new franchise, but giving you, like, it's just like, oh, it's so pathetic. And I love Bill Murray, dude. I almost wore my Bill Murray shirt today. Yep. Like, I love that Ghostbusters movie. It's like comfort food. You know what I mean? And I'm not alone in that. Everybody in my generation, it's usually like a top 10 movie. It's just, it's fucking brilliant. And there's a part of me, the comic book nerd, right, that just is like, cool, whatever IP you can slap that on, like, I'll watch it, as you said, I'll watch it.
Right.
But it's just sad, man. It's sad to see, like, the really great works of art just kind of get, like, just dumped into some new hands to, like, turn into something
like
that might make
strung
money.
Strung out and, like, re-rinsed and strung out again, and we're drinking, like, the bottom of the barrel water that is left to offer of it. I mean, I've got Star Wars tattoos, man. I feel this pain. Sure. Like, yeah, I can't even pretend to care about anything that Disney's putting out as of late on Star Wars. There's like three new titles coming out for shows, and I don't have any idea what they are. I haven't even looked into them because I just don't care. Like, my son and I might watch them together just as something to do, but we tried watching Ahsoka, and we got up to, like, I think we had one episode left, and we still just haven't finished it because we didn't care at all as we were watching it. It's sad.
So that's great that you watched it with your son, because now we're not blaming it on, like, us being, oh, like, you're just grown men who, you know, these stuff.
I mean,
for
me
kids.
Bitching through it probably turns him into more of a crotchety old bastard, but
good.
You know, it is what
boy
it is.
Need to learn.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, don't follow, you know, don't buy regurgitated crap.
Right.
Make your own, like you guys are doing, man. Do some Smuts shorts. Make your own stuff. That's way better.
Amen. Now, in other entertainment news, which I am torn on, have you seen the new Joker trailer for Joker Folie à Deux?
Yes.
Well, let's watch just a bit of it. We're not going to watch the whole thing. It's like 2 minutes long, but we'll watch a little bit and get your thoughts. And we'll pause and talk over it as we go, because otherwise, why is fucking Michael Heiss calling me? Why?
I want to talk that business.
Should I just take it on the air?
You should. I mean, maybe tell him that he's on the air, but...
Yeah, hold on. Michael Heiss, you are live on The System Is Down. How are you, sir?
Oh, well, fuck. I'm good. What's going on?
Oh, we're just talking about the new Joker trailer. Have you caught it?
No, but musicals are pretty lame, and the first one was really good, so not looking forward to it.
All right. Well,
the new Aliens flick, though, you should play the Alien Romulus trailer for everybody. That shit's dope.
I haven't even heard of it, but
you gotta grow up.
Yeah, I know. Hey, maybe do you want to talk? We're going to talk about some libertarian drama in a bit if you want to hang out.
No, I'm still at work and about to get out of here. I just wanted to call you about something.
Yeah, I'll have to chat later on.
All right, cool. All right, just bring that butt plug back to my house when you're done.
Sounds good, man. I'll clean it off. I'll see ya.
All right, peace.
Bye.
I love it.
We're a serious party. Mm-hmm. All right, let's watch a bit of Joker too. Folie à Deux.
Hey Fleck, you got a joke for us today? We use music to make us whole.
So, for those that don't know, there is controversy around. They have hinted at this, or stated that this movie is a musical, which has left everybody kind of scratching their heads as to why you would, when you didn't need a Joker 2 to begin with. Like, mm-hmm. after Joker 1, I was like, I thought it was great, and I don't need more, and please don't fuck it up, but I'm curious. And then they were like, it's a musical, and I was like, yay. And I mean, as somebody who likes musicals even, I don't want a Joker musical, but from this trailer, it seems like they're at least masking the musicalness. Like, if it is an abundance of, like, Joker and Harley Quinn dance numbers, they're not mixing a bunch in here so far. What are your thoughts, Dave?
Bro, I'm actually disappointed in myself. I did not think about this when they cast Lady Gaga for this movie.
Yeah.
I was like, that's why I see I'm still cool. These people are awful. But I was like, oh yeah, that's great. She's in some movies and she sings, I guess. Yeah. She looks kind of like that character. Like, that's all I'm thinking in my head.
She's successfully creepy, you know?
Right. Exactly. She's got that. Yeah, she's creepy. Perfectly said. But I did not anticipate that this would have to be an LGBTQ masterpiece in the process, because that's her bread and butter is that community. So I imagine it's got to have singing, it's got to have dancing. And I bet you Todd Phillips was like, great, because I don't really feel like writing a new script. So if you can fill up half with you guys just, you know, playing the piano together.
By great. LGBTQ masterpiece, do you mean just because it's a musical?
I mean, yeah, they're probably looking for a new Rocky Horror Picture Show or something like that, yeah. You know, a new cult classic for the gays.
Sure.
So that's what I imagine they're probably shooting for. I don't know.
I mean, it is a cis white couple that are the stars of this film, Dave.
Which is unprecedented in and of itself in 2024. I feel like you can't get away with that unless it's for the LGBTQ community.
So you just wanted more incels from the first one and you know, theater shootings. You didn't want this happy, peaceful Joker musical.
Yeah, I could do without it, man. But like, you know, this whole segment is about power grabs, and damn, we are like 20 years into the comic book.
Yeah. Genre.
They just know this is and I love it, man. Like, when I was a kid, like, this is all I wanted, comic book movies to just be more than every 8 years or something like that. But
now we're drowning in it.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Give me something original.
I'm not going to lie. I think this trailer looks great and I want to see this movie, but do you disagree?
I think it looks, great. And I think that it could be a commercial or something, because it's visually, I guess, captivating, but I don't know if I need 2.5 hours of that, but I could be wrong. I'll go watch it, bro.
Yeah.
And I should, it looks way better than the other one.
Well, the thing that made the first one so great was just that it was a unique take on a character. Like, it didn't have to be contained within this massive universe, which is where all these comic book things seem to fuck up, is that they have to be this giant picture of money, 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 instead of just making a good idea that stands alone. And the Joker stood alone really well and was a fun idea. I'm curious. Like, I want more of that. I want it to be weird. We'll see how they handle the music stuff, but yeah.
They probably dumped a boatload of cash on Joaquin Phoenix. I thought that him and the director were both like, yeah, this is a one and done picture. But I don't know, man. Probably a big old boatload.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's watch a little more.
To balance the fractures within ourselves.
I'm nobody. I haven't done anything with my life like you have.
That's what he did in the first one, right? Is that just something that you do, that crazy people in Gotham City do? They do this?
I guess. I don't remember that.
Is that their love thing? I don't know. Kate Paris in the fake super chat says, fake super chat, I'm not going, Dan. Well, Kate, I'll take Dave with me and we'll have a good time.
Bros night.
I Let's get out of here.
What the world needs now?
Yeah, I don't know how much of this we can even play. We've probably already been kicked off, let alone bringing in songs with copyrights. But I don't know. I'm not offended by anything so far.
No.
I'm curious to see where the story goes. It looks like they kept it within the style of the last one, and they're kind of taking a new take on Harley Quinn, too, which is kind of like what they did for Joker, like making him a little bit more human instead of just like, oh, Mr. J, I'm going to follow you anyway, even though you're a womanizing piece of shit, Mr. J. Yeah, I don't know. I'm intrigued. I don't know if anybody else is, but I'm going to
watch
it.
Some of that... The ballroom dancing, like with the spotlight, kind of reminded me of like some Alex Ross art that's pretty cool.
If it ends up being something like the Joker's crazy and Harley Quinn's crazy, and when they're crazy, they go into this dreamland where everything's musical because they're crazy, and it cuts back and forth between that reality and that reality, it's going to be annoying as shit. I'm predicting.
You just got it.
But, yeah, I don't know how else you would make the Joker into a musical, if not that, but there you go. Okay, the lovely Kate Paris says, fake super chat, you better hope Dave knows about M&M's in popcorn. That is correct.
All right, look, I like both of those things, but I'm not going to mix them because I'm not an animal. But
Of course.
Salt and sweet, all right, maybe I'll give it a rip.
Yep. Okay, what else do we have? I think we need to talk about actual news instead of just this shit. Actually, no, we're not going to. We're going to talk about RFK. Dave, RFK has been going around the news. Just everybody's up in arms because he's definitely running on the Libertarian ticket and trying to be the Libertarian nominee, and the Mises Caucus is endorsing it in secret. Like, there's a shadow campaign to get RFK elected, and Dave Smith secretly supports it because he had RFK on his show a couple of times. Angela said that it might make sense to you know, for RFK to do that. That was her obvious endorsement. And we all know that RFK is going to be the nominee. Dave, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the guarantee that everyone is supporting RFK secretly behind the scenes. What do you think?
Isn't it all so tiresome, bro? Uh-huh. These people, I swear to God, when I say these people, I'm talking about you guys, by the way. I'm talking about you guys, but I'm in there too, so I can say it. This is so tired. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm just on Twitter too much, but yeah, I do see a lot of this, and I just don't know where it's coming from, and I don't know how to attack it, because, you know, we've talked at length about this. Like, I'm not supporting that idea. I don't think that he should be the nominee, but like, why can't, first of all, just like I said last time, like, I wish the party could either like go big or go home, get the most radical guy, or I do understand the utility that the vote chasers are talking about ballot access and all that stuff. Like, pick one though. Don't stay in the middle with a guy that'll give you nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's my part. All the evidence and, you know, Mises Caucus doing this, like, it's so dumb.
Yeah.
It's so dumb. I haven't seen, other than Hector in the chat and Jorge, like, where's the people that are really clamoring for that? I don't know, man. But all libertarians, if you're going to be a delegate, you want to go to DC, you should love, if you should hit up RFK and be like, you should come to our convention. You really should. And you should buy a big table and give the party a bunch of money.
Go for it.
And that's what you should do. And everybody should welcome that. And, you know, fuck, dude, if Biden wanted to come there and, like, you know, Trump wants to come, be cool with that. Just let everybody in. Get some publicity for your party that gets none.
Yeah.
Like, do something creative. People only pay attention to your party every 4 years. So
Joe Not a Fed said, I don't think Dave Smith is supporting RFK. He recently went on a tirade about RFK. Yes.
He's definitely
That is the point that I was making in my very obviously sarcastic delivery. But, you know. Social cues are hard for some.
Literally, as soon as Rec announced, he was on the endorsement. There's cards made for it. He's been on talk shows talking about it repeatedly. That dude's cool. It's just like, it's hard to get the signal out or whatever, but people still think, oh yeah, Dave is trying to, Like Dave was just talking to Anomaly the other day, and they, you know, kind of went hard against RFK.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why people are getting that shit.
Right. And this is a chat from like, or a thread from early March. This guy was, I only knew about it because, like, I usually don't even get involved in the drama on Twitter, but this guy tagged me and said, Minute Mark, he's making the claim that there is this secret cabal of silent Mises Cox people secretly pushing for RFK, I'm pretty sure is what we're going for here. He said, Minute Mark, 306:30, at TSID Pod and Dave Casey, I'm blocked by him. So, Dave, you're a jerk. Who I believe are both on Rex campaign, also blocked, and discussed being asked to groom the LP for RFK. So I, of course, responded to that and said, I don't work on Rex's campaign in any way, and the person who suggested RFK to me wasn't Mises Caucus, and I don't believe that he is. But so these things that are just like made up and tagging people and saying, I heard this and I turned it into this, and so now you see that, like all this back and forth about this conspiracy theory. So the most recent, this thing came back up because this guy decided to bring it back up and tagged or commented on Dave Smith's post and said, Dave, any comment on Rechtenwald's campaign manager, Lori, or co-manager with Heiss saying this? So this is his smoking gun. This is the proof. This is the big evidence that we've been asking for, that the Mises Caucus is secretly supporting, or the whoever knows is supporting RFK. Here's a smoking gun by Rechtenwald's campaign manager. Is that true? I don't know who Lori is, Dave. Do you?
She's the treasurer of the campaign.
Okay. So, again, and she wrong. Also, nice they, try.
She's been partners with Rec working on CLG News, I think, for 10 or more years.
All right.
I'm not exactly how long.
Headline, breaking, RFK Jr. will seek Libertarian Party presidential nomination. CLG News has learned and confirmed with several reputable sources within the Libertarian Party that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will or has already made a sizable donation to the LP. Further sources confirm that he will, that comma should not be there, Lori, that he will, the first one, at least passively seek the Libertarian Party nomination to be its candidate for President of the United States, given the enormous hurdles he faces for ballot access and the costs of obtaining it in 50 states. RFK Jr. is no doubt attempting to win the Libertarian Party nomination for the ballot access that the LP has secured in at least 48 states. And then it goes on to Michael Rechtenwald, a leading Libertarian Party candidate for the LP presidential nomination, wrote to CLG News about this development. Michael Rechtenwald says, for libertarians, the argument against RFK Jr. is made simple. RFK Jr. is not a libertarian in any sense of the word. He's a statist who believes the state is the solution to all our problems. Whereas libertarians know that the state is the problem. I can't think while I'm doing the voice, so I'm just going to read it. I'm sorry. Is the problem itself. Basically, Michael Rechtenwald is just bashing on RFK Jr. and saying all the reasons why RFK Jr. should not be the nominee for the LP. So this is the smoking gun that they're secretly people colluding to get RFK elected in the Mises Caucus. Is this the smoking gun that guy thought it was, Dave?
Did he say in the Mises Caucus? Or that guy did. Yeah, I don't
know. Well, he said, so we had a little bit of back and forth. I said, oh golly, an article about Wreck the Regime saying RFK is in no way a libertarian and that it would be a travesty if he got the nomination. Gasps. That sure sounds like a glowing endorsement to me. And he said,
is what I'm saying. Bro.
Point is, Dave said I was a conspiracy theorist just for shilling for Josh, but Wreck's campaign manager then says it. And yeah, so yeah, I said, he's right. Your smoking gun evidence of support for RFK is an article that is flagrantly anti-RFK. He said, it's an article from Lori Price. She runs his effing campaign. And I'm like, so you're the campaign manager wrote an anti-RFK article, and that means that somebody is, I don't know, it's just such nonsense. Yeah. And he goes back and forth, and Dave Smith jumps in and says that, because this guy said that he's saying that he believes that Rec, He says, no, I'm saying that Rec believes RFK is seeking the nomination. And in the above thread, when I said that, Dave accused me of spreading FUD to help Josh. But that's not what he said earlier. Like, everybody knows that Rec believes that RFK is seeking the nomination. How does that prove anything? And he goes on to say, I don't know. Like, this was his initial statement. That's fine if we're done, and I'm obviously not privy to their conversations, but at DC in May, if Angela and the MC are backing RFK, hope you'd tell me I was right. So that's it. Like, Angela and the Mises Caucus are secretly supporting RFK behind the scenes, is the conspiracy theory. And what proves it is that Rec's campaign manager wrote something about RFK planning to do a thing and all the reasons why he shouldn't. That proves it.
See, that was a sloppy tweet. And this guy is a notorious spreader of disinformation and just kind of an overall dick.
I don't even know who this guy is.
But my problem is, all he had to do, like, he just fucked up that opening line. Like, you could say you have a hunch about something, or you could say that I think there's a group inside of the LP or the LNC or whatever that's trying to sneak in RFK. Okay. That's what it looked like. That's what Lori was trying to say too. But to say that the Mises Caucus and Rex campaign or Mike Heiss or something is behind that while working on the Rec campaign that just put out that letter, like, that's where it gets like, oh my God, like, we're just in this loop of retardation.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So you have been working with the Rechtenwald campaign. Do you believe that Rec is scared of RFK Jr. Coming in and sweeping? And do you think that RFK Jr. will? Because it's still possible that he could come in last minute, just pay a bunch of people to become delegates, and I don't know. They show up and get delegated on the floor.
If you guys didn't catch Austin Peterson's show with Larry Sharp earlier today, you should check that out. Some very telling information in there. Oh, look at that.
I don't have any clips for this pulled up, so feel free to reference whatever.
No, I mean, they talked a little bit about it and how that could happen in the event, maybe, and this and that. So if we're wargaming stuff and we're just having fun in this, like, ultra hypothetical, like, I wish, and by the way, yeah, I work for a Rex campaign. I make his memes and his video clips, and if he asks me for advice, I will give that to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty much the extent of it. So I didn't help craft that letter or whatever. And I probably would have said to Rec, like, you know, whatever, CLG News or Lori can write whatever she wants. But if I was Rec and I'm thinking, all right, and he obviously does not share this opinion. This is me having a different opinion.
Yeah.
If RFK came in, you know, Rec already had he picked his VP. But if in this fantasy land that we're playing, right, where he comes in and he wants the LP nomination, like, he might have to take somebody for vice president that maybe had some libertarian leanings.
Yeah.
Like, that's why he wouldn't
get to choose his VP pick at that point. We'd get to.
Well, go watch this episode with Austin Peterson, who was there in 2016, where they kind of...
Yeah, I mean, he would have extreme sway, and Joe Jorgensen could have had that extreme sway and not had Spike Cohen because she didn't want him.
Right,
She chose not to. She wanted John Mons, but she didn't say when they asked her if she had somebody that she leaned towards, so that's why we, thank God, got Spike Cohen. RFK Jr. obviously would definitely say, I want the person that I chose, and then all y'all would bend over and take it.
So, I mean, if that's the case, you know, I mean, that would totally suck, and that would ruin that in and of itself. I think it's like, it signals that he's not interested in getting libertarian delegates,
right,
to support him for the libertarian nomination. I'm sure he would like to get libertarian support, you know, of the millions of lowercase L libertarians throughout the country. Yeah. So if he could get to our convention and get on the mic, like, wouldn't he want to do that? Right. I mean, I would think so. If I was advising him, that's what I would try and tell him to do.
Yeah.
But if I was Rec, I would have probably held off on that letter. And because if he had to pick a libertarian for a vice president or something like that, I would have fucking vied for that job.
Well, Israel shit and all the baggage. I would have tried to get Rec. I would have tried to convince Rec to be his vice president if that was possible, because that would elevate the party in the right way, and his profile and everything else.
Sure,
I'm not a moron. So that's what I would have said. Probably off the table now, dude, since you told him what an asshole he is. But
well, I'm not familiar with CLG News. Are they just like? Is it just writing articles? Are they like? Do they have information that didn't seem to have any sources as to where they, how they found out that it's official that he is running? It seems very definitive that they're saying, but nothing has been announced to my knowledge. So that's kind of a weird look to be like, he's running, we said so, and here's why it's bad.
I mean, you'll have to ask Lori about that.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. But on this Larry Sharp stuff, being on Austin Peterson's show and talking about his involvement in the RFK shit, I don't know. He's so Larry Sharp is working as a consultant for ballot access for the Robert F. Kennedy campaign. And what are your thoughts, Dave? Because I feel like this is probably rubbing some people the wrong way that they're one of their greats is pushing for RFK.
Well, consulting is not wrong. I'm glad that he is getting, I don't have a problem with people making money. I made a video for Libertarians for Kennedy,
so it's kind of the same.
So this is okay. But if you're telling me, what, 30 grand, 50 grand for consulting for ballot access, it's just like, I'm sorry, man, I'm not a retard. Like that's called buying influence. That's what that is. So here you are at every single debate and, you know, whenever possible, just kind of pivoting to like ballot access stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I'm not even saying that's wrong or you shouldn't be able to do it. But like some of us are here for liberty. Yeah. Straight up, bro.
So are you implying that RFK paid him to basically be a libertarian liaison or what are you getting at here?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, word it however you want. But yeah, I think he's buying influence within the Libertarian Party through Larry Sharp.
I don't know. Maybe we should get Larry on, get his thoughts. Probably something about onions. But let's watch just a little bit of this because I don't have anything specifically pulled up. We're just going to jump into the middle because I thought it was a interesting conversation and kind of, I don't know. They're talking. Even Austin Peterson didn't seem to buy that it was just for ballot access, and but Larry was very insistent that it was. That's all it was.
It's already picked. So you've already, delegates already picked. They already have the people they want. Are you telling me that you honestly think that anybody, Bobby Kennedy Jr., anybody with money, right, could just go, you know what? Let me bribe 520 people who have already been picked. Let me call them all up, bribe them, and hope they will all show up, even though at least half of them, at least if not more, already have their hotels set, select up, already have their
point
subset.
Of order. Point
it's,
of order.
It's a month
point
and a half away.
Point of order. Point of order. The floor.
I mean, Lars could do that too if he's not already. Lars is he's got close to Kennedy numbers, I would imagine, somewhere up there, maybe not quite, but for libertarians, he could. That's the game. Well, you can
but
do
Larry,
that.
But Larry works for Lars's campaign too.
That's true.
And already took $50 grand from Lars' campaign. So what is that? He goes on later on in this interview.
And I am not charging nearly enough. And I am working in the wrong sphere of this fucking thing.
Hell yeah. You need Smots Consulting ASAP, bro. Because I'm telling you, like, listen, I can point to the stuff. I don't have a problem with people getting paid, but 80 grand for consulting for like what have you done for Lars? I'd really like to see it. I bet you there are people that are hustling in the streets and like making moves for Lars, but like I don't know, man. But yeah, at some point in this interview, he's like, yeah, none of the candidates really do it for me except Lars. It's like, well, yeah, because he put 50 G's in your hand, bro.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Come on,
Lars, I'll vote for you. Give me the money too, and I'll play pretend. I don't know. I don't know Larry all that well. I've like opened for him last year speaking and stuff, and I've met him a couple of times, but I don't follow him all that closely. I know about the New York runs and that type of thing, but
bro, this is a classic case of he's a really nice guy. Like how many times do you hear that about somebody in the Libertarian Party? Like people won't say a thing that might be conceived as negative if it's a nice guy.
Yeah.
This is Mike Termont syndrome. You guys can't tell the truth because they're a nice guy. Well, they came to my affiliate and they're really nice. Shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? That's how I feel about this guy too. Because if you can't see the grift that this is, bros, I don't know. I don't know how you're going to take on the state if you can't spot a grift.
I mean, but kind of respect it, right? Like, I would take Lars money and RFK money.
He's explaining how you can take the party with money. And he's working with the guy that can take the party with money. This is fucking disgusting.
That's fair. My videos were not going to take the party with money. No, but I will take your money and help you to the best of my ability.
Essentially, these people that pay you, bro, inside the party are essentially fucking, they are lucky to have that service at that rate. It's like to say discounted is to do you a disservice. It's almost like a tip. Thanks. And you can point to it. You pay this amount. Forget the amount. You pay something and you get something in return that does something.
Right.
You know, there's a craftsman aspect to that. This is, what are you selling? Air, bro? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. I want to know.
Yep.
I recognize the host, the chair to speak. And what I will say is that all it requires is a simple rule change at the convention to allow new delegates to be credentialed. And by the way, that's in the Libertarian Party's best interest to credential delegates on the floor at the actual convention because they need people. And I'll bet you that's exactly what's going to happen. So you seem to be denying that it's possible, even though you're saying it's possible. It's absolutely possible.
No.
You don't, but he doesn't have to bribe the delegates. He just has to bring his own.
I'm not saying you're wrong and that it's possible. What I'm saying is there's literally no evidence he's doing it, is what I'm telling you. And why was it hard? And if he wanted to, why didn't he start last year? All the things.
So Larry Sharp is making the very strong claim that he has seen no evidence that RFK is planning to run on the Libertarian ticket. If I'm understanding him correctly, that is his stance. He's not saying he's not going to, but he's saying there has been no evidence and no reason why he should think that RFK is planning on running Libertarian. I don't know. I think it is pretty late in the game for RFK to switch at this point, but he's already switched once, and it would look worse to me if he switched between now and convention or like right at convention rather than if he had switched 4 or 5 months ago, because switching right before it is without any, I don't know, real interaction with the Libertarian Party, any like campaigning within the Libertarian Party, you just switch right at the end because you know that your name is going to come in and take it. Like that rubs me more wrong than the Israel support, quite frankly, as far as trusting this guy, because he would clearly just be using us entirely at that point. Like, I want nothing to do with you until right at the last hour. Give me your shit. I'm going to take the ball. I'm going to go, and you guys have fun.
Listen, I think, first of all, if he came over and that was the case, we would, like I said before, we should use him too. He's our bitch. You go out on the street, you get us fucking ballot access, make our money, bitch. But, dude, I think this is all just so very unlikely. But what is, I guess, like, could be in the cards is like what would be advantageous for him. Like, I don't think Larry says later in here, I don't think he needs the ballot access. I think that they've been doing just fine. And if he wanted to do that, he could have done it through Forward Party and all this shit. But what he does want is the TV cameras, bro. C-SPAN will be there like they always are.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's advantageous. That's free. He doesn't have to spend any money to just show up, and he will get the mic. There will be somebody from the floor who goes, let him talk. And that'll piss off all the people that are pissed off about this right now. But you're not going to stop that. And you shouldn't stop that. Like, that's just dumb. I don't know. I would say that it's good if he shows up for all libertarians. So just don't.
I mean, I'm here for it. I'm here for the fireworks and the shit show. I mean, it was inevitably a shit show going in the works anyway. If RFK shows up at the last minute, it's going to be quite entertaining, and I'll enjoy it. I'm saying that I won't think more highly of him for doing it at that point, but I hope it happens because it'll be fun. But it'll give us something to talk about on Wednesday. But there's RFK has also been in the news recently for some comments on Trump and Biden, and I don't know. The media seems to be making a big deal out of these comments. Let's see the spice.
But do you really believe that when people talk about the threat to democracy that Trump poses, do you really think that that is this an equal evil to Biden?
I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, so to censor his opponent. I can say that because I just won a case in the Federal Court of Appeals and now before
Please
the
pause
Supreme
it.
Court.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't mean to cut it off so earlier. But immediately, I'm like, as soon as he said, oh, Biden's way worse. I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, A-PAC. It's just like, okay, of course, like, you know, get Biden out of there. But right. then the next words out of his mouth are, oh, this guy's censoring speech. Like, then I'm like, oh, you mean like the 36 states that like made laws against criticizing the state of Israel? Like right. that kind of censoring speech? Oh my God. All right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, the media is claiming that he's working for Trump now because he had the gall to say that Trump is better than Biden, which is just like I don't even know what we're comparing here anymore. You can't say that.
You can't say that's definitely putting your hand on the scale. I think. I mean, we've already discussed this, and I think post 10-7.
I mean, it's just such an obvious statement, though. Like, Trump, not good. Biden worse. But
progressives and liberals and Democrats hate Trump. So if you cared about their votes, you wouldn't just be like, oh, yeah, Trump's way better than that guy. Like, you just, you know, you'd be a little bit more careful with your language, I think. Unless you were like,
do you think it's because he thinks that Biden is a bigger opponent to him than Trump, so he would rather push the scale in that direction?
No, I think it's because his function is to serve AIPAC, and that is to get Donald Trump elected. So I guess by default, yeah, kind of. But not, you know, I don't think he's working with Trump, but I think Israel has decided that Trump is the guy.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, other things in the news might indicate that as well, since Biden just urged Israel to just call for a 6 to 8 week ceasefire. Slams prime minister's handling of Gaza war. So Biden is kind of backtracking on this whole Israel thing, which really, I don't know, it really stirs things up a little bit, because there's a lot of Democrats that are against involvement in the Israel war, so it kind of makes sense for him to go that route. But in the grand scheme of things, in this whole theater that we observe, Dave, what do you think this signifies, that Biden has about face on the Israel, making him currently of the three top runners, the only one that's not supporting Israel right now, or wavering on support, I suppose.
So much like every single decision that has come from Joe Biden, Joe Biden does not make that decision, right? Like, we'll take that as pretty much a given, right?
Yep.
So the left establishment, the progressive establishment, decided that this is going to be their take. Yep.
The new script came down, and this is what we're going with this week.
Yeah, I imagine like this will be popular with their base, but I have to also guess that this is just part of the theater. Like, he has to placate all those progressives on the street, right? And they're gonna get some votes, but not all the votes. That's what I think the main function of the independent candidate in this is like, RFK will provide enough of a smokescreen or enough of a pull. Like, you won't be able to fake that. The Democrats won't be able to cheat, yada yada. So I think it's just going to lead to a decisive, big victory for Trump, and also like maybe to like stigmatize the Free Palestine movement with like the legacy of Biden.
It definitely the plot thickens, and it's becoming more interesting as it goes. Like, what do they have left to do with Biden? Why would even there was like that Joe Scarborough clip. Did you see it where he was like, screaming at the dude about, well, they've always been Nazis, and you've said that they were always Nazis, and what, yeah, I don't know, whatever. Yeah, like, people in the media are following suit with this Biden change, and things that they would have either not addressed or said the opposite of before, they are now saying. So I don't know what the reason is for this shift, but
bro, I saw I think the word has come down already. I think we might have talked about this, or maybe it was Heist. The Rock, yep. Number one celebrity in the world, the new Arnold Schwarzenegger, highest paid entertainer ever, has come out publicly to go, you know what? I voted for him last time, but that was a mistake, and I won't be doing it this time. I really feel like this is them signaling. It's not in the cards. This is not what Biden is not what the establishment wants. Right. he served a purpose. They're gonna dump him over.
Yes, Trump. We spent years upon years trying to destroy this man's life, and I guess this is what we're going with. So, might as well get the pro-Israel guy. Yeah, once Biden put out the statement the other day, I asked on Twitter something to the effect of, which war are you voting for, Donald Trump and Israel or Joe Biden and Ukraine? But here's the Rock statement that you're talking about.
You made that endorsement in 2020. Are you happy with the state of America?
Am I happy with the state of America right now? Well, that answer is no. Do I believe we're going to get better? I believe in that. I'm an optimistic guy, and I believe we can get better. The endorsement that I made years ago with Biden was one I thought was the best decision for me at that time. And I thought back then, when we talk about, hey, you know, I'm in this position.
Bro, please pause. Yeah. I've said it so many times, and I keep coming back to it, but it's the Chappelle skit. I say whatever it takes, baby. Whatever it takes, that's what I'm saying. that's what he's doing. I'll say whatever it takes.
Right, right. Well, I mean, The Rock, I don't remember what show I heard it on, but The Rock was back in, I don't know, 08 or whenever. It was like in the Bush years, The Rock was at like the GOP conference speaking and stuff. Like, dude is probably pretty concerned. He's like, he's a wrestler, like, meathead guy. I mean, he's a theater actor also. But so, I don't know. He's had history with the conservatives and the GOP, and probably goes where the money was to when Biden was popular, because Trump was not popular. He went where the money was and endorsed Biden, and now Biden is definitely not popular, and he's like, well, I feel bad about the 50 big ones that I took to say that back in those days. That was a mistake. Like, okay. You couldn't tell it was a mistake to endorse Biden at the time? Was it just us that noticed all these things beforehand?
You think Dwayne Johnson been to some of them Diddy parties?
Some of those RFK parties? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they got on him, but probably something. What else we got here? This is semi-related. Larry David came out and cried about Trump on CNN recently. Here we go.
I can't go a day without thinking about what he's done to this country, because...
Larry David cannot go a day, a single day, without thinking about what Trump has done to this country. Because it was so bad under Trump that he cannot go a single day. Like, bro, touch grass. I don't say it often, but if you cannot go a day without thinking about Trump, you've got problems bigger than Trump that you need to worry about.
He's such a little baby that he's thrown 250 years of democracy out the window by not accepting the results of an... I mean, it's so crazy. He's such a sociopath. He's so insane. He just couldn't admit to losing. And we know he lost. He knows he lost. And look how he's fooled everybody. He's convinced all these people that he didn't lose. He's such a sick man. He's so sick. Anyway, no, it hasn't impacted me at all.
You know what I'm thinking this whole time, bro? It's just like, it's so much easier to destroy something than to build something. Like, he's so brilliant. And he's had such a long, you know, flourishing career.
Yeah.
That was just like
pathetic.
Building 7 coming down, dude.
It's just pathetic. Like, I don't.
Absolutely.
I don't like Trump, but that's pathetic behavior. Like, I can't stop thinking about how he threw democracy out the window by not accepting the results of an election, which has happened in literally every election, every sizable election in this country for the last forever. But let's pretend like this is a new thing that Trump invented, where you go, I don't think that's right because I wanted to win. Because of that, he threw all of democracy out the window, and it's sick. He's just a little baby. Like, bro, Trump's not in office. It's been 4 years almost, and you're still crying about it.
It reminded me of that a couple episodes ago with Robert De Niro, kind of on the same type of rant. Just like, it seems like it's bad acting almost on their on their behalf. Probably been like, to some Diddy parties.
How much did they pay you to be so upset that it's just sad? It's sad. Like, his character on his show, Curb Your Enthusiasm, is a pathetic, sad sack character. He makes the character in the show look less pathetic when he does things like this in real life. And I know it's based on his life, so whatever. But you're supposed to hype it up in the movie to make it more interesting, not be more pathetic in real life than you are in your show.
And he's always been, like, when he's on interviews and stuff, he always seems cool. He always seemed, like, unbothered. That was so that just sad.
Yeah.
You seemed, like, upset. You're a grown man who's lived a life of privilege.
Right.
You're a loser.
Yeah. Agreed. Now, we have to talk about a couple more things libertarian related, because that's what we're doing today mostly, just because the news was boring. So we're giving you some LP news, which is arguably much more boring, but you're still here, so thank you. Jacob Hornberger put out another video. He keeps doing that little rapscallion, Jacob. I'm quite enjoying him, I'm not going to lie, whether I agree with him or not. I like that he's poking the bear sometimes, even if he's wrong. But did you catch his latest, Dave, on he's discussing the LP debate for convention and calling it what's the phrase, like a malicious something.
I saw he's boycotting it. That's pretty much the extent.
Yeah, manipulation. They're manipulative and odious, he's saying. It's a fundraising scheme. I find myself having a hard time disagreeing with him, but let's see a little bit of this. It's 45 minutes long to talk about this one issue, so we're not going to watch the whole thing, but we'll get a little bit.
I'm Jacob Hornberger, Libertarian candidate for president, and this message is a message to the members of the Libertarian Party. A couple of days ago, the Libertarian Party hierarchy announced a fundraising scheme relating to the national convention this coming May. The scheme said that any of the presidential candidates, the top five presidential candidates who raise the most money for the Libertarian Party, will be permitted to participate in the presidential debate at the national convention in May, and everyone else will be excluded. And the idea, of course, is to raise money for the national party. When I learned about this scheme, I immediately sent an email to Angela McArdle, the chairman of the national party, and to every member of the LNC, pointing out that I had not been asked and I had not given my consent to use my name and my photograph in this scheme. What they do is what they have is a page where everybody's picture, the candidates' pictures are there, and then people are expected to click on the picture that they want to support and then make a donation. But the donation does not go to the candidate. The donation goes to the party. And so I said, remove me from this immediately. I have no wish to participate in this scheme. I'm fully aware of the consequences, but it doesn't matter. There is just no possibility that I will participate in this fundraising scheme.
So that's enough. So they're doing this debate, and you have to raise money for the Libertarian Party. Your name is in the debate, and then they fundraise. Like, whoever gets the top amount of funds, the top five get to be in this national debate, which is not how it's worked in the past, I don't believe. They have just let people who are like the top, I don't know, 8, 12, depending on how ridiculous the running is at the time. But they are now trying to...
It's historically been a chip system. So you get all the delegates get to put in. And
sure. So it's kind of like a popular vote in some way, but it hasn't been like paid to win, which, I mean, certainly gives a strong advantage to people like Lars or hypothetically RFK Jr. if he were to, you know, slide into those DMs. But what do you think about this? Because I don't necessarily disagree with him that it's wrong to slap his name on there and say, give us money, and then this guy who we didn't even ask if he wanted to be in the debate will be in the debate. What do you think, Dave?
So, again, yeah, man, Hornberger, listen, I like him too as a human being, but he is once again wrong. It's just been a reoccurring theme for this whole time that he's wrong here.
I think it's a bold strategy that's not going to do him any service, but I don't. Why do you think he's wrong?
Well, he's certainly, of course, he's able to do this because he doesn't raise any money, right? Oh, giving
lost
away
the
fourth wall.
Sorry,
there it is. Right? No, come on, man. I'm sorry. I'm reading the chats. No, he's
don't
wrong.
Don't read those woman chats.
I know, right? Stay out of the chats. The party. Now, look, you know me, dude. I don't care how long somebody's been in the party. Yeah. Nope. Sorry. I need to know what my hard nope was. No, I don't care how long. I said it on a couple shows ago. I don't care how long anybody's been in the party. I don't care what you've done within it. If you're running for president for the Libertarian ticket, what can you do for us is kind of where I'm at. But as Toad put it in Georgia, Jacob is a perennial loser. He has been running for president for this party and as an independent since the 90s. And there's a movie. It's a good one. You should check it out. It's called He's Just Not That Into You. So I want to say this to some of the candidates who feel like they have a First Amendment right to be on stage and give their thoughts because you filed some paperwork. Bros. If you don't have any money and serious, Chase sucks at a lot of things, but that guy's got a team and people that are interested in hearing him talk, and he raises money and he gets
shit
done.
Jacob Hornberger has a dog.
Yeah,
a camera
I know.
Phone.
He puts out a fucking 30-minute video out of his truck every day complaining about somebody. But my point is, like, bro, you don't need to be in the Libertarian Party. You run your own organization and you're spreading that shit and that's all good. You don't need to be in the party. But don't give the party shit when they have no money and need to come up with a way to make money, which, by the way, every other affiliate has been doing all season long. Texas, one of the shittiest affiliates, putting out the worst stuff. Sorry, Jen, if you're in the chat. Sucks. Must suck to be there. But they raised over $50,000. 10,000 of that just came from the rec campaign. 10,000 from Termatz. Probably 10,000 from Chase. Like, huge money to facilitate their operation. Because it's not coming from people like Jacob Hornberger. I mean, shit, I'm not sending the Libertarian Party money. You know, so either do something. But
my membership may have lapsed for the first time in a few years. But, it is what it is. Sorry, y'all.
I mean, look, man, if every other party can do that, if RFK comes in, I hope he comes in. And I don't know what the most expensive table is there. 50 grand plus a gala ticket. I don't know. I hope he buys it all because I want there to be some cash floating around. You know what I mean? You know who's not complaining about this? People that, you know, will be able to raise some money to get on the debate stage. And it'll probably be the same top four, top five that you've seen the whole time.
Yeah.
And everybody else sit down because nobody's interested in what you have to say right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I do think that they should have run it by the candidates before putting their name on it. Let's say they put RFK on there without asking RFK, or let's say they put The Rock on there without asking The Rock. They could just be like, candidate.
Wait. There's a big difference between putting the registered Libertarian Party candidates who are registered, filed, on there than just any presidential candidate, right? That's a big difference. Yeah. So he's bitching that, oh, I didn't agree to be on your website. It's like, motherfucker, you're running for our nomination.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah. I just think that's kind of, that's, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, and nor much do I care, but I think that this probably is not going to be the... Well, I suspect that Jacob Hornberger knows that he wasn't likely to make the top five anyway, and so taking this stand is a, you know, a way to drum up some outrage clicks, and it's working. We're talking about it.
Sure, and I just want to say, like, if anybody thinks I'm, like, overreacting here or something, like, I really value your time, my time, and I feel like... If he,
where'd you go?
If he's on stage taking up valuable time, right? Like that could be used to do other shit. So I don't know, man. I'm a little insulted by it. Like not just him, but like anybody who thinks that they should be that we should take that much time for ballet or whatever. Like he can't raise $100 and he's a COVID apologist. It's like get the top four guys up there who raise money and have been around, and like. Stop wasting our time.
Sure. Yeah, that's probably enough on Jacob Hornberger. Do you have any predictions as, like what will go down in D.C.? Who do you think? You said the top five will probably be the top five we've seen. Do you think there's any chance that there's going to be a last minute jump in that would, I guess, like if RFK jumped in at the last minute, he wouldn't be able to debate even because he wouldn't be able to be in this poll.
He definitely would. He could debate.
Okay.
Because the body can do anything. I make a motion to let Robert F. Kennedy, since he's here, let him debate.
True. That's true.
If enough people want to do it, then he could do it.
Democracy.
I love democracy.
Anyway, let's move on to David Hogg and Spike Cohen. The slaughter, the absolute slaughter of a debate. Now, going into this debate, I assumed the opposite would be the outcome. I was really shocked by this turnaround, and I think a lot of people probably were, because leading up to this debate, I said things like, you know, this is going to be more of a slaughter than, oh, never mind. I don't need to, you know, go there. But I said that it would be, I don't know, I made some sort of bicycle ride joke about David Hogg or something to that effect, but it was going to be a bloodbath, and it was, but in the opposite, in the inverse, because going into it there was, what was the, you caught the debate last night, right, Dave?
I did.
What was the percentage going into this, like they take a poll going in, poll everybody, ask them which side they lean on, and for those that aren't familiar, this is the debate that was referenced at the top, and we played the clip during the audio incident. They're talking about gun rights in America. Spike Cohen, being the former Libertarian Party vice presidential candidate, David Hogg being a survivor of the which one was it?
Parkland,
yes, the Parkland shooting.
Right, different store, same groceries. Right,
he was a survivor who got back from his bicycle ride just in time to give some interviews to the press about how his friends had died, and has made a career, a very, very lucrative career, out of his friends' deaths ever since. And they debated at Dartmouth College, and they had, David Hogg's arguments. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it felt the whole time I was trying to pay attention. It was really hard because, I don't know, it wasn't that spicy of a debate. Like, it was very professional and very, like, polite. But there wasn't that much that was, like, slap in the face or anything. David Hogg's arguments were basically, it's the guns, though. But, bro, I don't care about your stats. It's the guns. And Spike Cohen pulled up Wikipedia facts and stuff that David Hogg called him out on and whatever. But going into it, they took the poll. Do you remember what the percentage was on which side people land on?
Not exactly, but it was roughly like three quarters Spike's side, you know, one quarter Hogg's side. So
yeah.
You
know, yeah, it was like 75-25. The 75% Spike, 25%. David Hogg.
They asked two questions, and it was one, you know, regarding, you know, gun violence, and that was it. Yeah, pro gun or anti gun.
Yeah. Now, at the end of the debate, after David Hogg gave these, well, what was your take on David Hogg's arguments? Is my assessment correct? Or, like, were there any moments that stood out to you as David Hogg's big hitters that would make people, I don't know, change their minds?
Sorry, my dog's barking. No, he definitely didn't bring any big arguments, for sure. In fact, I didn't even bring a piece of paper with me. I just, you know, came here to chat, dude to dude.
Yeah.
Which I got to commend Spike, man. Like, everything I would want, you know, a nice guy who came with receipts, and he was on it every time. Oh, you came with Wikipedia stuff? He's like, no, man, this isn't from Wikipedia. But Spike had all the right answers, of course.
Yeah.
But
I mean, Spike should have got things that didn't say Wikipedia on them. I'm sure they were linked to actual good sources, but he, a little bit of a misstep there. He could have saved himself the trouble of having to explain that, but yeah.
I mean, sure. But I think, look, at the end of the day, I think David, the kids there, the college kids, imagine that at Dartmouth, you know, rigged the system coming in and, you know, so the votes at the end, we'll talk more about that, I'm sure, look like he won this debate by three quarters.
It basically flipped.
Exactly.
Like straight up. So that was from 75-25 to 25-75, basically.
Right. So I'm sure the anti-gunners in their Discord who were at Dartmouth were like, okay, we're going to go in and do this. And that's what they were focused on. And that's really great, rules for radicals. But Spike and his watch parties and people like us who are thinking fourth dimensionally and, you know, living what lives forever on the internet, that's what's important. Yeah. That was historic. As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to go back through it again, and that should be clipped out and fucking made, you know, over and over and over. But he did a great job, and thank you for coming with the receipts and repping it, repping our position well. So,
yes. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we had a conversation about a different debate, a debate between Lars and Chase and Fat Socialist. Her self-given title, Fat Socialist, and a couple other socialists at some whatever lefty bullshit thing. It was like the lesser-known candidates compete or whatever. Now, in that debate, we had the conversation about whether or not it was better for them to go and fail to Fat Socialist and then be known as the person who lost to Fat Socialist for the rest of their life, or is it more valuable for them to stay home and keep preaching somewhere else? Does it have more value for them to get their message in front of people that are definitely not listening to them but definitely have differing opinions and they're definitely going to lose? Or is it better to not be the loser and stay home? So with this, is it better for Spike to go out there and lose to David Hogg, which is almost as bad of a title to give yourself as Fat Socialist? Or is it better for Spike Cohen to stay home? Because this election, as you said, was probably rigged, and it could have been predicted going into it. So do you think that it was a mistake for him to do it at all?
Definitely not. I didn't really think about it like that, and I'm picking up what you're putting down. But no, I don't think at all. In fact, the clips will reach many more people than the results of the debate. Soon that will just become content. You know? Dozens of pieces of content that get spread to, you know, hopefully millions of people.
What, you don't think Chase and Lars's clips from they're losing to Fat Socialist are going to get clipped and shared for generations?
So I don't think that I don't think that those chicks that won for those days that won those won that debate, I don't think that they're going to be like, we smashed these libertarian nerds, check this out.
Right.
But if those bitches need any help with their social media, you hit me up. Because I'm there for it. But no, I don't think that they're doing that. And I mean, you don't see, I mean, maybe they are. I've seen Free and Equal pass around, you know, hell, the highlights of Chase. Like, here's Chase making his case. Like, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. I don't feel represented. I feel like Spike just represented us.
Yeah.
So I'll share that. That makes me excited.
Do you think, I don't know how this debate came about, but I mean, it being at a college, typically means that there's going to be a more left-leaning populace in the audience. So do you think that it was a misstep for him to try and do it at a different location, or is there anything that could have been done differently here?
No, it was perfect, bro. This is so good. I would, if Spike could go to a, I mean, look, they was totally polite. We got a libertarian who most of these kids probably think is like, you know, who knows what they thought of Spike or about libertarianism, alt-right, all these awful things.
Yeah.
Nazis, fascists, all this crap. But it was like cordial. And
And David Hogg said a few things that were like just when he said, it seems like a pretty libertarian position to take on this, this, and this. I was like, David Hogg now knows what libertarianism is. I would venture to guess that he didn't know that much before he started looking into his opponent's takes on things. And apparently this is the first time he's done a debate like that, he said, I believe, at the end of it. So for Spike to be the first and to even put the word libertarianism in David Hogg's mouth to where he has to look into it and be like, like plant a seed or whatever. Not that I think David Hogg's going to change his position, but like, yeah, for the zeitgeist, Spike fucking killed it. And I mean, another difference between this and the fat socialist debate, I don't remember the name of it, so that's just what I'm going to call it.
That's what he is.
Yes. Another big difference is that, fat socialist distracted me, and then I lost my train of thought.
I started thinking about that beauty. Yeah, she is very distracting.
Another big difference is that one of the main criticisms that we had and other people online had for that debate that Chase and Lars were in is that they didn't push back. It wasn't much of a debate. It wasn't even much of a discussion. Some of that is on how it was structured, and this was structured. This was still structured not as like a straight up discussion, but with it being the one-on-one, there was a lot more of an opportunity for to give the counterpoint and the counter arguments rather than just going down the line. What's your take? What's your take? What's your take?
Bro, this is the reason why we cannot afford to have Jacob Hornberger, Ballet, all these other no names. When you have to have a real conversation between Rec and Chase or Josh and Chase, like cut to the chase. So the more we just
that should have been his slogan.
Right. I mean, you know, the Democratic when they stack the whole stage, and you know, there's 11 people plus Biden and Tulsi. You're never going to hear Tulsi. They're going to stack it so you can't get to the heart of anything.
Yeah,
just you know, a little common denominator there.
Yeah. No. When I posted about this show, like I don't frankly have a ton to say on this debate unless we were going to go through point by point. Maybe we'll play a couple more. Just jump to a couple more spots in it, but I don't know. There weren't any moments that really stood out to me as, yeah. There was the Lily Ting Williams question that I thought was great at the end there. Maybe we'll play that in a minute, but was there anything else that you caught that was just like, wow? Or, I mean, it was kind of just a conversation about guns between an adult and a child.
Yeah, no, like, oh my God, moments, but like, you know, consistently just impressed with Spike. And, you know, he, like I said, I really appreciate bringing receipts. And he always had an answer that wasn't based in, you know, feelings. The other kid he talked about his feelings quite a bit and what he thought. And, oh, I think that it would be appropriate if you can't drink, then you shouldn't be able to say, bro, these are your feelings.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about your feelings.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think if you can't have cigarettes, then so dumb. And Spike talked about natural rights. And so hopefully, dude, you know, that room full of 19 and 20 year old kids, like they'll go back and maybe revisit that. Yeah. And if you're an intelligent person, I think you'll recognize that like one kid is trying to sell something and the other person is like, just understands what they're talking about.
Right.
That's,
and when I posted this episode, you saw some of the comments of people being like, did I watch the wrong debate? What? Like, it's a joke, guys. Like,
75, yeah. 25.
I mean, if we're going by numbers here, David Hogg fucking murdered Spike Cohen in this debate because you don't just flip 75-25 to 25-75 without fucking killing.
I changed my mind. I was pro-gun my whole life until this young man.
Until David Hogg came in and said, but it's the guns, bro. And then I was like, that little boy makes a good point.
You know? Plus, I feel bad for him.
Yeah. You feel bad for David Hogg?
Yeah. Very, very, very sympathetic. Mm-hmm. He's had a hard go of it.
A hard life of a son of an FBI agent, but, you know, nothing to see here.
Yeah, right.
All right, I think this is right before the Lily Tang Williams comment, so we'll at least get that and see what else.
Things like that. Anyway, I don't want to take up any more.
Hi.
Now, Spike cuts off his question there. I'm going to go back, because I did notice this when it was happening. Spike is saying something, and they keep rushing, like pushing him on the time, because they're getting short on time, and everybody's respectful and whatever, but they're like, yeah, wrap it up, basically. On this one, Spike kind of cuts himself off. I suspect, I don't know, but I suspect he was like, oh, Lily's here. She's getting up. Yeah, I don't need to talk. Let her talk instead, because he was right to do so, if that's the case.
I'd like to openly lament the fact that this wasn't a four-hour debate, which would have given David and I time to talk about, I think, a lot of things we probably do agree on when it comes to the war on drugs and the police state and a lot of things like that. Anyway, I don't want to take up any more.
Hi, my name is Lily Tang Williams, and welcome to my live free or die state. Actually, I am a Chinese immigrant who survived communism. And under Mao, you know, 40 million people were starving to death after he sold communism to them. And 20 million people died, murdered during his Cultural Revolution. So my question to you, David, is that can you guarantee me, a gun owner tonight, our government in the U.S., in D.C., will never, never become a tyrannical government? Can you guarantee that to me?
There's no way I can ever guarantee that any government will not be tyrannical.
Well, then the debate on gun control is over, because I will never give up my guns. Never, never. And you should go to China to see how gun control works for dictatorship of CCP. Because, you know.
Oh, there goes the mic.
Can I respond to you? I am extremely sorry that you've gone through that and witnessed that. The collectivization of agriculture, for one, the Cultural Revolution, are horrific things that never should have happened, ever. And I would do everything in my power to stop that from ever happening in the United States of America.
Aside from let them have guns.
Having your gun taken away. I'm genuinely not. I know it may be hard for you to believe that, but I'm
not very confusing.
Any law-abiding like citizen to have that happen to them.
So he's not advocating for law-abiding citizens to have their guns taken away, only not law-abiding citizens. And as Spike will eloquently, much more eloquently than me, point out later, but, like, if somebody's committing a crime, we take their guns away. If somebody's threatening somebody, we take their guns away. Like, nobody is arguing that criminals shouldn't have guns. We're arguing that gun control leads to only criminals having guns. So, like, yeah, Lily Tang's, you know, her point there is just like, you're going to tell me that I'm not allowed to defend myself when the same shit that I escaped from starts happening again? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. This guy, bro, he is, like they all are, like The Rock and everybody else, he's an influencer on behalf of the regime to do a job, right? Probably like his father before him. We can speculate, but he doesn't have to pass laws. He's not a senator. He's not in there. He's like, that's not his job. His job is to get in front of college kids and get public opinion on their side. Yeah. So there is something actually really terrifying about this. You know, they are kids, but they are of voting age, and 75% of the room, whether they believed it or not, was willing to go along and say, I want more gun control, after Spike Cohen just said all that dope shit.
Yeah.
So that is fucking terrifying, because at the end of the day, we talked about this too, bro, doesn't matter if you're a constitutionalist or if you're into Spooner or whatever, the only thing that matters is public opinion. So they will kick your fucking door in if, you know, they feel like the majority of the public has an appetite for that. And this guy really doesn't care, or no, it's pretty evident here. He doesn't really know how red flag laws work. In fact, that might have been the best part when Spike, the guy was like, oh, nobody, I'm not saying they should get your guns without due process. And Spike was like, yeah, but that's what red flag laws are.
Right.
Like, you just advocated for that, but you don't know that?
Okay. Literally what that so he, is.
That's literally what that
I'm
is.
I'm concerned, take the guns, not due process.
I have bad feelings about this person, so take the guns. My feelings are scared, so so take them. So yeah, that's very alarming. We should keep that in mind.
Yeah. So, to the angry people that think that I don't like Spike Cohen, I don't know. Like, I worked on his campaign. I made his videos and came up with You Are the Power. That it's going to be okay, guys. Like, just chill. Yeah, no, David Hogg clearly did not win this debate in my mind, but the fact of the matter remains that Spike Cohen, the great Spike Cohen, that everybody loves and knows and amazing voice of liberty, got his ass handed to him statistically by David Hogg. And that is sad. Anyway, there's another debate that came up, or a debate challenge, because Dave, you missed the eclipse and all that episode that I did with Side Dave, also known as Raven. We talked about a little bit about the Candace Owens, Ben Shapiro back and forth. Did you catch any of that where they're having this back and forth about their debate, not debate stuff?
No, I only watch the shows that I'm on. Actually.
Oh, sure. I mean, did you catch any of the back and forth between... I know you didn't watch the show, Dave. That's not what I was asking. You piece of shit. I'm asking, did you see the back and forth between Candace Owens and Ben Shapiro where he was...
Oh, on Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw some of that.
Yeah. That happened, and I don't know whatever came of it, but now we've got... I mean, debates are all the rage lately, and I, as somebody who... is a fucking nerd. I enjoy them very much. I don't find that much actual value in them most of the time, but I do enjoy them, and the spicier, the saucier, the better, just because I like the clashing of the minds on spicy taboo topics. There's another debate, that debate gauntlet that's been thrown down, and I'm not sure if it's going to pan out, but God, I hope it does, because just it would be one of the spicier ones that we've seen. And we've seen, I don't know, we've seen Rabbi Shmuley versus Alex Jones. That was fun. That was a fun debate. How about this as the follow-up?
Hi, everyone. The absolutely childish, nursery-like antics that are going on in the debate between Ben Shapiro and Candace Owens has become just embarrassing for both parties. And they both kind of deserve it. Ben Shapiro deserves this humiliation because for 2 years he profited maybe millions of dollars off of Candace Owens' anti-Semitism. From the moment she defended Kanye West and said it's okay to love Hitler and that's not anti-Semitic, I'm sorry.
Nazi fags.
I don't believe in canceling people, but Hitler, if that doesn't cancel people, then nothing does. And Ben profited, and I said, Ben, donate that money to the victims of October 7th and widows of the IDF. Candace Owens obviously deserves this childish humiliation because of just how hate-filled she is, and she's the foremost female anti-Semite in the country. How much more are we going to read over the next few days that Ben says, let's do it in my studio, and she says, I'm in London, and then he says, I gotta, like, do it with my phone, and she says, well, I'm washing my hair that day, and he says, well, I'm, like, doing my nails, and both of them avoiding this. It's pathetic.
I mean, I'll just say, if Ben Shapiro and Candace Owens are both avoiding you and you're a rabbi, there might be a reason. Like, it's not them, and it's not the religion. It's not the rabbiness. It's you, bro. It's you.
I love that this guy's calling Ben Shapiro anti-Semitic. That's uh-huh. So awesome.
The anti-Semitic Ben Shapiro, because he had Candace Owens on his show or on his network, that makes him anti-Semitic. Even though Ben Shapiro's current hot water is for firing Candace Owens for claiming that she's anti-Semitic. So, you know.
Not good enough, bro.
Yeah. Try harder.
Are we going to have a moderator? I don't know, because maybe we will. Ridiculous. Okay. So let me propose a real debate. I've already debated, thank God, and taken down, thank God, in the name of my people and Israel and American values. The arch anti-Semite Norman Finkelstein, America's foremost Jewish Jew hater, Muhammad Hijab, America, probably Europe's England's foremost.
Do you know where he's going with this, Dave?
No, I can okay. Only I can't stop staring at his face, bro.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, he's gonna challenge somebody. You got any guesses so far?
I know who this is, and I can't. Please, yeah. So I won't spoil it.
What? Oh, you do know?
I do know who this is.
Okay, all right.
Islamist. He's probably very proud of that title. He spews more hatred than any other Islamist against Jews with a bigger audience. I've taken down, thank God. The most fun actually was Chink, Iger, Uyghur, and then, but definitely Alex Jones. When Alex had to start, Rabbi butt plug, I mean, the desperation. But I did use Alex.
I love now, that we've already talked about butt plugs today.
Uh-huh. And also, I love how he felt the need to bring that up in order to say that Alex was being a dishonest debater. It's like, bro, you went straight to like personality attacks and Sandy Hook and blah, 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 things that had nothing to do with anything. But yeah, let's just spin it as all Alex Jones went to talk about was butt plugs, even though that's a much more relevant topic in the conversation between you and Alex than Sandy Hook was. But, you know, tomato, tomato.
Very, I should say, I used Alex very compassionately and very gently to completely wipe up and mop and give a shine and a gleam to the floor with him. Anyone who watches the full debate will come to the same conclusion.
So he's a humble man.
Let's propose a real debate. The next one on my agenda, God willing. Nick Fuentes, you are the American Nazi. You're proud of it. How you Nazi ever got fags. A meeting with the president of the United States, with Donald Trump? Well, Kanye West loves Hitler. I'm guessing you do too. So he somehow got you that meeting. But you are the, you know, you're like this proud American Nazi. But are you too much of a coward to debate me? So let me get around all the kindergarten antics of Ben Shapiro and Candace Owens.
And as they start some kindergarten antics of my own.
Other, but each fears the other. I don't fear you at all, Nick. You're a punk. You're a Jew hater. So I will debate you on your platform, God willing, within reasonable conditions if you don't make them. And what are those reasonable conditions? Okay, number one. It has to be done from a professional studio on my part, just like with Alex. You'll get me a studio. I'm okay with that. Not Zoom. Number two, equal time. Alex was fair about that, and I give him credit for it. I don't know if he counted all the Rabbi butt plug stuff as part of his time, but anyway. number three, you cannot edit the debate at all whatsoever. Alex did edit it afterward, and that upset me because that was never our agreement.
By edit, does he mean he clipped out parts of it to share for promotion, to help people hear what you had to say? I mean, I did see a couple clips when I was going through them where it was like, it would have one part and then it would jump to another part because it was on the same topic, but it wasn't like deceptively edited or anything, but you know, whatever. That's the internet, bro. Sorry. If Alex didn't do it himself, somebody else would have.
And number four, it goes out live on X, on YouTube, and any other platform that will have an American Nazi like you. Now, my prediction is you're too much of a coward to debate me. And it has to be a fact-based debate. We're going to debate all the things you say about Jews. We're going to debate Israel. We're going to debate, you know, your accusations of Jewish-Jew loyalty. All those things you want to bring up. We'll try not to make it ad hominem. My prediction is that once I begin to completely digitally decapitate you and digitally disembowel you, you will be forced to the rabbi butt plug stuff. And, you know, because you'll have to fall back on that because you'll have nothing else. But I'll still do it. Because you need to be taken down from your lies. So Nick Fuentes, there's a challenge. No kindergarten stuff. No, I'm going to London.
This is all
mustache,
kindergarten stuff.
Et cetera. I'm grooming it that day. And
no kindergarten stuff. You don't need to go out and groom your mustache. Like you're being a petty bitch in your like in the next sentence after saying no childish stuff. Like, oh, do you know, go out and groom your mustache? Like.
Digitally decapitate you
and digitally disembowel. Funny. Yeah.
Oof.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is pretty gross. This guy's fucking gross. His soul's dog shit, bro.
I mean, he's very gross. I mean, he does run a sex shop with his daughter where they sell butt plugs, but you know, I mean, he keeps bringing it up, so I think it's fair game for us to discuss. Dave, do you have any thoughts about the good Rabbi Shmuley and his daughter talking about sex on podcasts and selling kosher butt plugs to strangers?
I haven't seen, I mean, I've heard about this and I haven't seen her or any of these clips or any of it. I don't need to either, but depraved. I don't know. Like,
I haven't seen the clips either, but he keeps not denying it and also bringing it up. So I have to assume that it's out there if I wanted to look, but I don't really feel like looking.
I just, bro, I can't get over his face. And I know, like, you know, some people are really attractive, others are not. It's like, you know, this is like some, like, I feel like his soul is dog shit from the inside out, just exudes this, like,
it's very anti-Semitic language you're only, using, Dave.
It's the only, bro, dope, dude, Gal Gadot is a Jew, and she's the most smoking hot chick on the planet. It has nothing to do with this guy's religion or whatever. Ben Shapiro is not Jewish enough for this motherfucker. But look at the mug. Look at the mug on him. It's like, it's unholy. How about that?
Dude, we can't say that. That's crossing lines, man. Unholy? That's
terrifying.
Candace, don't you know that to call a rabbi unholy when you don't know about our religion
He looks like a hag. This guy looks like a freaking hag of the 18th century variety.
Bro, you're going to get us kicked off the YouTubes.
He's the hag.
The lovely Kate Paris said, fake super chat. Weimar, just saying. Kate, stop it. No.
Shut up, silly woman.
We're already going to get ourselves kicked off this platform, but yep. You know, there is a Wikipedia page on Weimar still, if you want to go look it up. Just some things, but whatever. I feel like being speaking in code about it makes it sound way worse of my opinion than it is. I'm just saying, go look for yourself. Yeah. And
Dan
see
just
if
dog whistled the shit out of you guys.
White. I used to have a guy in my chats all the time named White Graper. Kind fellow. It never caused any problems, but, you know, tis what it is. I'm just going to stop talking before it gets worse.
By the way, that cute mustache kind of makes you look like the pencil man from that famous 1970s and 80s book, The Joy of Sex. Take a look at it. It almost looks like you almost should, like, sue them for plagiarizing you. But anyway, we can do this. And
again, no childish shit. Your mustache is stupid, and you should go read this because you look like a porn star or whatever. Go look at it. They should probably sue you for plagiarism. Like, but no kid shit. None of that. None of that.
Back to me. America's rabbi against America's Nazi.
Oh my god. Yo, Nick. Well, like, isn't he like? That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent performance. They're probably both feds, but dude, this guy's probably like, I don't know. His face looks like he's 100. What's Nick Fuentes? 25 years old, 23, 24?
Something like that. Like, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's just, that in and of itself.
He's like David Hogg age. Like, I don't know.
Right.
Kids with opinions, and you're like, well, I gotta take you on. I'm not saying that Spike Cohen was wrong to debate David Hogg. I'm saying that David Hogg is more of an influence on the broader spectrum than Nick Fuentes is. However, I am not complaining at all about this call out. I know that Nick Fuentes has some sort of studio, at least up to some degree. I know it's probably a green screen in his bedroom or something, but whatever.
Hey.
Sorry. I mean,
this is my den, bro.
Mine's a wall in a room in my house, so it is what it is. But yeah, I feel like this could absolutely happen. Do you want it to happen, Dave? Are you here for it? Or do you think that this is just going to make more anti-Semites out of everybody? Or more Jews out of everybody,
both of those.
Assuming that this man's winning the debate.
That's what, okay, like, you know, we talk about the red meat that Trump gives. Like, it's just that feeling that the owning the libs, the like, it's like, I don't know what that feeling is. But like,
what Ben Shapiro used to do when he was fun.
Sure, yeah. So this, for that, I want it. I want to see the shit show, and I want the endorphin rush of seeing two assholes call each other assholes, you know, all kinds of other words. Yeah. But no, this isn't good for anybody. No one will come out better from this. Viewers,
you don't think minds are going to be changed?
No.
It'll definitely bring the conversation to the forefront. It'll definitely force people to talk about this because it'll be like, I would imagine if Rabbi Shmuley and Nick Fuentes, as he called it, America's rabbi and America's Nazi debate, like,
yeah, but that's the false paradigm right there. You are not, sir, America's rabbi.
Right.
You're a fucking inside job, probably limited.
And Nick Fuentes is not America's Nazi. God damn it.
No.
He does not own that title. We have way better Nazis. Just look into it.
Right.
Dark web
shit.
We
need people with experience, you know, old Nazis, 100-year-old ones.
Classical Nazis.
So these people shouldn't, let's not get funneled into two categories, both which suck. You know, let's not do that.
Yeah. I'll say this. I'm not thinking greater good here. I'm like, please fucking, yeah, let's go. Same as RFK in the LP. Like, yeah, let's do it. Let's shake shit up. Let's, we got nothing else. We might as well get the entertainment value out of it. No, nobody's mind is going to be changed or swayed. It's going to make Nick Fuentes look worse than he is. It's going to make Rabbi Shmuley look worse than he is. They're both going to look like pieces of shit, probably because they are. But it's going to be fun.
If I could get Rabbi Shmuley or Nick Fuentes on my guest list for the Libertarian Party National Convention, I would fucking do it. And I would tell everybody that I did it on the microphone, too, so they could all fucking hate me. But we would get a bunch of cool.
Dave, are you calling for Nick Fuentes to be the Libertarian nominee for president?
No, but he should come and he should try and get some try and get on the debate stage.
I'd enjoy it. I'd enjoy it. Would not
somebody will probably
vote for him, but I would enjoy it.
Listen, sir. If Toad gets the nomination, there's a good chance you could get yourself a vice presidential nominee spot.
Let's get RFK Fuentes ticket on the LP. Go hog wild. Like we could do it. You think that RFK is too pro-Zionism? Fine. We'll give him running mate Nick Fuentes just to even out the scales, and then we're good, right?
That's balance, good then? That's how we do it.
Like, just because we don't want to piss anybody off with any too strong opinions, that we'll go it. We'll do it. Make it happen.
Right. It's not enough to be anti-racist. You have to be full-on.
it must
be racist.
It is not enough to be passively anti-racist. It is not enough to be passively not racist. You must be actively full-blown white supremacist. Joe Jorgensen quote, I'm pretty sure. Don't fact check me, bro.
That. That's great.
This has been fun, Dave. We've been through a lot. We've been through a lot today. OJ died. God rest his soul. Or whatever. There's a new Matrix movie, which might be just as bad and confusing as, like, I'm just as torn about how I'm supposed to feel about a new Matrix movie with the Cabin in the Woods director. I'm just as torn about that as I am about OJ Simpson being dead, because I don't know if I'm supposed to be sad or not. I'm also torn about the new Joker movie, because I am. I'm also torn about RFK, because I love the chaos, and I have nothing left to lose or gain. So let's have some fun. The Rock is a shill, and Larry Sharp is definitely not a shill. Larry David is a sad sack. Biden no longer supports Israel. Jacob Hornberger is sealing the deal on his funeral. And David Hogg destroyed Spike Cohen in a debate, destroyed him with statistics. And finally, Rabbi Shmuley is threatening to disembowel and decapitate Nick Fuentes. It's been a lot. It's been a lot. A lot of nonsense, a lot of silly, silly nonsense. But at the end of the day, it's a lot to take in. Dave, do you have any final thoughts? Briefly, because we got to get Steve's take on this.
We got to get Steve's take. Yeah. Sorry, I missed last episode. I apologize. Had some Libertarian Party stuff to do.
Uh-huh.
But great to be back, man. Great episode. Way to tie it all in. The theme, the common denominator is torn. Just, you know. I'm just torn.
Common denominators. Who cares? Like, enjoy the ride. Fuck it. Like, we didn't die. We're all alive. We survived the eclipse. Yeah, it's going to shit, but it might not be, because we made it through that apocalypse. Maybe we'll survive the next one. Who knows? But enjoy the ride and laugh at yourself. Sorry to give my final thoughts over your final thoughts.
No,
30 seconds, Dave. Go ahead.
It was a combined final thought, and that was pretty much it, man. I love this show, and I'm really looking forward to hanging out with you next week. Is it a week away? We're going to be in Maryland together.
Week it's away.
Great, dude. We're getting the band back together from the rap track Freedom of Day.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to So we're doing the lunchtime rant. I think we're going to talk about the current state of the LP and a lot of things that we talked about today. I think that's the best way to go a month out of convention. And what else do you need to talk about? Maybe we'll throw in some conspiracy stuff and spice it up, get the crowd's thoughts on, I don't know, things like, who knows, 9/11, the moon landing? Let's have some fun with it. But probably the main topic is going to be just this cluster of where we've come just in the last year for the LP and where we're going and that type of stuff. So come out to the Libertarian Party of Maryland convention. We're going to be doing that at the lunch hour special on 420, Dave and I, and maybe we'll pull in a guest or two. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But that's going to be fun. And also that evening, Dave, are you going to be there for Saturday night? Are you staying overnight Saturday?
I don't know if I'm staying overnight, but I'll be there. I'll bring some dance drugs.
Well, do you want to join an after party podcast that will probably consist of, it'll be a live podcast, I think, with me, the Punk Rock Libertarians, and Clint, and you, if you're so willing?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. All right. So come out to the Libertarian Party of Maryland convention next week for 420 celebrations and all that. But Dave, where can people find you before we have Steve get us out of here? You're going to know what it means in a second.
I can't wait. Please follow me on Twitter, Dave versus Goliath 1. It's right there. And give me a follow on the old YouTube, trying to get those numbers up, Dave versus Goliath.
Yeah, and you can follow me at Dan at TSID, or at TSID Pod on Twitter, or Dan at TSIDpod.com. You can email me or wherever the systems downs are sold. But Dave, last week when you weren't here and had Side Dave on, I decided that I think we might just end every episode with Steve asking us, checking in with us to see how we feel. And then we're going to rant at him about how we feel about everything we've just discussed and see if he has any words of wisdom as we go. So, Dave, join me in the most anarchist outro that is possible. And just whatever you're feeling, let Steve know with me. Here we go. People in the chat, join us. Well, Steve, you know, there's been a lot going on, really. There's been O.J. Simpson died. That sucked. Dave, come on, get in here. The Rabbi Shmuley threatening to disembowel Nick Fuentes seems a little bit harsh, don't you think? Is that a little over the top? Is that too strong of language for a rabbi to use? Is that unholy? Does his face seem unholy, Steve? Steve, I need you to give me a little bit of feedback here. I mean, there's so much going on. RFK, what are your thoughts on RFK joining the Libertarian Party and becoming our nominee? Do you think that that's a good idea for him to do? Do you think it will be beneficial to our party, beneficial to him? Or do you think that he's just using us? Is he just a user? And what do you think about Joe Biden bailing on Israel? Do you think that it's anti-Semitic? Do you think that the Democratic Party is a bunch of anti-Semites now after they called us all Nazis for the last 6 years? No, Steve, hold on. I got more to say. They called us Nazis forever, and now they're... All right, fine. Fuck it. We're done. Thank you guys all for being here. We'll talk to you next time. This outro title card is incorrect, but be bad, have fun, question everything, stay uncomfortable, and stay alive. Welcome to the system. Everyone's a victim. Doesn't matter if you're black or white, it hates you all. Here is how the system. Violence is a symptom. Fighting for what's right, but somehow everyone is wrong.